To other news, and the federal government is reviewing the rules for selling national assets to overseas interests following the controversy over the 99-year lease of the Port of Darwin to a Chinese company with links to the Chinese military. This comes as the issue of foreign investment in critical infrastructure is also coming to a head in New South Wales. The Foreign Investment Review Board, or FIRB, has cleared a Chinese bid for that state's electricity transition network sale, amongst several other bids, of course. The Port of Darwin sale was approved by the Northern Territory Government. The Chief Minister, Adam Giles, joins us now from Darwin. Chief Minister, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
You announced last month that this Chinese company, Landbridge, had secured the lease for $506 million. Why Landbridge? Was it simply that they were prepared to pay more than the other bidders?
Well, there's a range of different criteria. Certainly, they were by far the winning bidder on price, but more importantly, they were the winning bidder based on their plans to develop and increase the size of the port, both in hard stand area and also the length of the port, the key line. And for us, developing Northern Australia, a bigger agricultural and mining sector, we need to have that capacity. And the Northern Territory Government, with its limited finances, doesn't have the ability to do that. The port was already in a lot of debt. We were overlooked by the federal government for investment, and I think quite rightly. We had to look at opportunities of how we could expand the port and run a very competitive process that went both to FIRB, the Foreign Investment Review Board, and took advice off Defence and ASIO, and they came back saying that there were no concerns with this, and it's a fantastic investment. And I've got to be honest, I'm not quite sure what the concern from down south is.
Well, the concern is about Landbridge, this company, the winning bidder, its links with the PLA and the Chinese military. Were you aware of those links before you approved the sale, or are you aware of those links now? Have you looked further into this?
Look, I don't agree that there are links. I think we need to be mindful of the different cultural elements in business in China. There is in the ports that Landbridge operates in Shandong, they operate a security force and a firefighting force themselves on the port, which is what they need to do under OH&S regulatory environment. And the training that is required for that port is often referred to in interpreting. As a militia training.
So
major.
You're saying it's not an armed militia, it's a firefighting force?
It's a firefighting force and a security presence on their port, which is what they need. We need it on our port in Darwin. They need it there. It's the practice of doing business. And I think that this is more about political xenophobic slants by certain political parties down south.
Well, I don't know that it's about political parties, though, Chief Minister, with respect. I mean, criticism of this deal has come from a number of our senior military analysts. And if you, Jeff Wade, who's a visiting fellow at the Crawford School of Public Policy at the ANU, he wrote on ASPE's blog. He was the first one to alert us to these links. He said that this company, quote, has actively supported the Chinese army through culture, supported the army through science and technology, resolved difficulties, and served as a logistic backup for military units engaged in maritime training and for the military units based in the owner's hometown of Rizal.
Well, to be fair, Fran, the Darwin port serves as a backup if they need to. We have exclusive rights. Defence has a contract. If ever they need step-in rights over the port, they have right of access.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a military backup in our port. It's just common business. If we need to refuel some of the Navy ships at the port, we refuel them at the port now. This is business. To say it's not politically motivated, when you have the Labor Party coming out and attacking the deal, you have unions putting ads out attacking Chinese, I think that it's certainly politically motivated.
My point is that a lot of the criticism has come from military analysts, security analysts in this country.
Well, I put my faith in defence. I put my faith in the three chiefs. I put my faith in ASIO. And to suggest that this is a concern, I look to Canberra, way down south, and I see the building of ASIO, 2 kilometres from the Chinese embassy, which sits right in front of the British embassy. I mean, if it's all about who's next door to one another, I think we need to be fair and reasonable. To me, this is just a bit of a joke on the side. What we need to do in the north of Australia is to look to our near partners and to see how we can get investment to grow northern Australia. The investment's not coming from down south. ASIO is part of who we are as a jurisdiction. We work very closely together. We run a competitive process that went through the Foreign Investment Review Board. We spoke to Defence. We spoke to ASIO. And to me, if Labor and unions don't have confidence in our defence and ASIO agencies, I think there's significant concerns.
So just to be clear, you are saying that you did a full due diligence on this company. The deal did not require full FIRB approval, did it? But you took it to FIRB.
Well, the company had already been through FIRB for a couple of other transactions, so we went to FIRB and asked if we needed to have a full proposal, and the advice we got back was no, because they'd already been through that, being in partnership with other companies in Australia already.
And with defence? You took it to defence?
We had a full overview by defence, full investigation by defence. I've got to say, defence were completely professional. I saw an article in the Australian newspaper a week or so ago that spoke about how do you know what the Australian Navy's doing in Darwin? I'm sitting on a balcony of an apartment right now, overlooking the naval base. And as I think it was the Chief of Air Force said, if you want to know what the Australian Navy's doing, sit on Stokes Hill Wharf, have fish and chips, and watch the boats go past.
I read that, Chief Minister, but we have to be careful here, don't we? I mean, it's not a joke. These are serious matters. And of course, if you're owning and operating a port, you have access to all sorts of information of which ships are coming and where and when they're docking. You can't just know all of that from seeing at the fish and chip shop. And you described it as a joke on the side, but the US President Barack Obama clearly didn't see it as a joke. He actually did tell our Prime Minister that Australia should have given the US a heads up on this.
Well, we are Australia. We make our own decisions on what we do. And in the Northern Territory, as long as we run a fair and due diligence process, I think we're right and capable to make our decisions. But I just think this is being stirred up by people who really want to drive a wedge against a particular part of our community, that being the Chinese. I mean, we have defence training which occurs in the Northern Territory with a range of different countries, whether that's the US, Malaysia, Singapore or otherwise. But we also have Chinese troops training on the ground, in our training grounds in the Northern Territory this year, last year and I presume next year. So we actually work quite cooperatively with our northern neighbours. Whether everybody knows that, I'm not sure, but we have a very strong relationship, and the history of whether it's China and the Northern Territory and Northern Australia, Indonesia, Singapore, Japan. I mean, this is a long-term relationship we have, and it's something that we want to see continue to grow and continue to be invested in. There is due diligence on the port. There are processes in place should defence need to be able to access our port, particularly through military times. And I think that we've got the best model we can. What we will see now is a port that can grow. It can help us get into a logistics supply chain throughout Asia, which we weren't into before, and it can help grow jobs in the Northern Territory.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at.
So just finally, Chief Minister, the federal government, in the wake of all this, says it's looking at strengthening the rules and safeguards when it comes to foreign investment and critical infrastructure, even if it's owned by the states and territories. Do you support that?
Well, they can go and have a look at it all they like. But what I know, I look at the Northern Territory now and I see a casino that operates in Darwin, which is owned by New Zealand. I've got a casino in Alice Springs owned by the Malaysians. I've got a Japanese gas plant. I've got an Italian gas plant which is supplying power to the top end of the Northern Territory, which is state-owned, the number one state-owned company by the Italian government. I've got Japanese investments in pipelines. I've just announced a pipeline between Tennant Creek and Mount Isa for gas, which is part-owned by Singaporeans. We live in a multinational environment, and we need to respect that. I think we need to be fair to those populations and are investing their hard-earned money in Australia and in the Northern Territory in particular.
Adam Giles, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Good on you, Fran.
Adam Giles is the Chief Minister of the Northern Territory.